Just say to him, Lord Jesus, I have faith in you this morning that you are my helper and you help me with all my troubles. I don't need to struggle on my own to have the victory. You have already given me the victory over 2,000 years ago. And today I look to you in faith that you may, by your grace, help me to enjoy the victory that is mine in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for taking care of all my troubles today and always. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Just wave your other hands to him and thank him. Amen. Let's turn back there to Matthew chapter 11. And we just thank God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him this morning as we share the word of life. We pray that by the help of the Holy Spirit, we will not be forgetful hearers, but we will be doers of the word that we may profit thereby. Because Bible says it will bring to our remembrance the things that we have heard. And what we are hearing here this morning in this service, the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance day by day so that we may live by the word of God and profit thereby. In Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 11. Let's read together now from verse 28 through to the end. That's 28 to 30. Let's go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. I want you to please underline in your Bible, in verse 29, the phrase, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And you shall find rest unto your souls. And you shall find rest unto your souls. So we see clearly here the heart of Jesus for us as his people. He wants us to have rest unto our souls. We are living in a world that is full of troubles. And Jesus has come to give us the means by which we can live an overcoming life by granting us the opportunity to have rest unto our souls in the midst of the troubles. So we can have troubles, and the troubles are not able to trouble us. Why? Because Jesus has the grace for us to overcome those troubles by the rest that he has brought for us in himself. You see, he is the Lord of the Sabbath, as the Bible says. Our rest is in Jesus Christ himself. Put your finger there, please, in Matthew chapter 11. We are coming back to it. And let us turn quickly to Hebrews. See, we have to understand as Christians that we are a privileged people. And God expects us to walk in the privileges that are ours in Christ Jesus. God does not want any of us to fall short of any of the blessings that are ours as the followers of Christ. Now, let us look at Hebrews chapter 4, thank God for rest unto our souls, just as Matthew says to us, Matthew 11:29, that we read earlier. Now, Hebrews chapter 4, let us read from verse 1 to verse 3. Let's go. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Please notice that Bible says the works were already finished from the foundation of the world. In other words, everything necessary for our salvation in all areas of life, both the initial salvation in coming to Jesus, as we heard in the Bible study this morning, to become born again. And then after that initial salvation of being born again, the specific salvation in every trouble of life. Everything is covered right there in what Bible says was finished from the foundation of the world. And that is why, as Christians, no matter what may come our way, we are a people of hope. We have been begotten to a living hope, Bible says, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Jesus, in dying for us and rising up from the dead, has given us a new life, a life of victory over every situation that is contrary to us all our days here on earth. But for us to enjoy the benefit of what Jesus did for us, right from the foundation of the world, we need faith. That's what Bible is teaching us here in Hebrews chapter 4. We need to have faith according to the promises of God. We have to listen to what the word of God says, rather than listening to what man is saying or what other people are saying. You see, in verse 2, Bible says, for unto us was the gospel preached. That's talking about the good news of salvation that Jesus has brought unto mankind. That message has been preached to everybody. Let's put it that way. But some people profit from it, some don't profit from it. Why? Is it God's choice that some people should fall short of the profit that they should have from the word of God and the salvation that Jesus has brought for mankind? Obviously, no. The reason why some people fall short of it is because they refuse to mix faith with the word of God. They heard the message, okay, but instead of applying faith to what they have heard and allowing that word to be the final authority in their heart and thoughts concerning their situation, they decide to leave the word of God aside and begin to reason with their human understanding. And because of that, they don't have faith in God and in the promises of God concerning their need, and they fall short of the rest that they should have in Christ Jesus. So we begin to see that it is necessary for us as Christians to live by faith according to the promises of God. We cannot afford to take our eyes off of the word of God. It does not matter how the situation looks. It does not matter what others may be saying. It does not matter how impossible the circumstances appear to be. We just have to focus on the word of God, because we need faith in the word of God to enter into the rest that belongs to us in Christ Jesus in specific times of need. There is rest for us in every trouble of life. There is victory for us in every contrary situation. But for us to walk in the victory and possess the rest that Jesus already purchased for us from the foundation of the world, which also he came to ratify here on earth by his death, burial, and resurrection over 2,000 years ago, for us to possess those blessings and enjoy the rest, we need faith. We need faith. We must believe the word of God. We cannot lean on our own human understanding. Look at verse 3 again. For we which have believed, that's the key. We have believed. Believed on who? Believed on Jesus. Believed on the gospel, the good news of salvation that Jesus brought for mankind. And we keep believing it day by day. For we which have believed do enter into rest. We enter into rest by the faith that we exercise in Jesus Christ. And so let us walk in that rest day by day in every circumstance of life. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 11. So we see then that Jesus, in telling us to come to him, is simply helping us to possess the rest that he has already purchased for our souls. See, the soul there speaks of the essence of the human life that we have. The soul comprises of our mind. That's our intellect, our ability to know things and to reason. And also our will, our ability to make choices, and our emotions, the sensibility in us that makes us to respond to things around us. That's why sometimes we can feel happy and sometimes we don't feel that happy. All those feelings are in the soul, in the emotions. And he wants us to have rest for our souls. Why? Because when we are going through adversities and troubles of life, those troubles affect our souls. The born-again spirit is not affected by any trouble of life, because the born-again spirit is one with God. God is not affected by any trouble. God is not moved by any situation, because the life of God is an overcoming life. So as Christians, we have to understand that the born-again spirit we have is not affected by any trouble of life. In fact, it doesn't even know anything called trouble. The only thing the spirit of God in you, the newborn spirit in you, knows is God himself. It just relates with God. It's one with God. It lives above the beggarly elements of this world. It is far above all the things of this world. It cannot feel pain. It doesn't know anything called sickness, because the spirit in you, the born again spirit in you, is perfect. God himself put it in there the day you confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. It took the whole spirit, the Adamic spirit that was corrupt in the garden. God took it out of you and put a new spirit in. And that new spirit is perfect. It doesn't know anything called sin. It doesn't know anything called curses of the law, because it is blessed forever. But the soul is where the problem is. The soul is still undergoing a process of regeneration in us. That's why Bible says in Romans chapter 12 verse 2, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need the word of God to cleanse our souls and change the way we think and line our soul with the word of God, so that we can walk in the rest that Jesus has given to us, because that rest is already present in the spirit for us all. Now, as it says here again in verse 29, we must find rest unto our souls. But for that to happen, as we looked at Hebrews chapter 4, We need faith. Now again, Matthew chapter 11, from verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. Now look closely at verse 28 and pay attention to what Jesus said there, I will give you rest. Very specific, I, Jesus, will give you rest. Not anyone else, but me and me alone. So if you go elsewhere, you won't find rest. You have to come to Jesus to have rest for your soul so that you can walk in victory over every trouble of life. Say to your neighbor, only Jesus can give you the victory and the rest in every trouble of life. Not man, not any created thing, but Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. So, He alone. Now, how do we go to Him? But before we look at that, let's turn also to Psalm chapter 55. Now, when we have troubles, then, as Jesus said, we have to come to Him. So, we must understand how to go to Him, how to take those troubles to Him, so that we can have the rest in exchange for the burdens that we have. You see, the troubles that come our way, they are burdens unto our souls. They weigh our souls down. That's why when we are going through hard times, we don't feel good, because the soul is oppressed by the troubles of life. And the devil that brings those troubles against us is really after our souls. The soul is so precious. The devil knows how precious our souls are. So it just tries to bring all kinds of affliction to discourage and overwhelm our souls. And we have to understand as Christians how to always take every trouble to Jesus and not try to carry them ourselves or try to give them to any man, because no man can really relieve us of our troubles. Only Jesus can. Jesus is the one that has defeated the devil for us. Jesus is the one that has disarmed principalities and powers. So He knows what to do with every problem that we have in our lives if only we will come to Him. And so throughout the scriptures, both the old and the new, we find this instruction very clearly written that we have to carry our burdens and take them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must understand how to do so. But let's look at Psalm 55 verse 22 and let's read together. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now notice, Bible says when we cast our burden upon the Lord, He shall sustain us. So there is no reason to doubt that victory is certain for us in every trouble of life. Because Bible says Jesus will sustain us. If we cast those burdens on Him, He will definitely sustain us, and He shall never suffer. The word suffer there means permit. He won't permit the righteous to be moved. Why? Because the righteous belong to Him. We are the righteous ones in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is our shepherd. And He is the Lord of our Sabbath. He is our rest. He brought us rest. And so when trouble comes our way, we have to carry those troubles and give them to Jesus. And in exchange for the trouble we receive is rest. We take the burdens to him. He takes the burden from us. And he gives us rest unto our souls. And we receive the rest unto our souls. And therefore we overcome the trouble. Because of the rest that Jesus gives us in exchange. But for that to happen, we have to take the burdens to him. If we carry the burdens ourselves, we cannot have rest unto our souls. None of us can have rest unto our souls carrying the burden, because the burden is designed to disturb our souls and to really overwhelm our souls and get our souls to be battered by everything contrary to us in life. There is no joy unto the soul when we are going through adversity unless we carry the burden to Jesus himself. We have to know what to do. Don't sit down and eat the bread of sorrows. That's not going to give you victory when troubles of life come against you. You have to take those troubles to Jesus. You have to give them to Jesus and receive his own rest in exchange for those troubles. Hallelujah. So cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And we don't need to turn there. You can just write this reference, or you'll find it in the cross reference in your Bible right there. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Peter quoted from what David said here in verse 22. Peter quoted it in 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7, that we should cast all our cares. All our cares, all our anxieties, all our troubles, all our worries, all things that would unsettle us, so to say, in our souls. Peter said we should cast them upon the Lord, just as David said here. Because when you get home, please read from verse 1, you will see it in the context in which David wrote this psalm. He was going through a lot of affliction in the soul, and he's crying to God in prayer and wondering why he was going through all those things. In fact, back up with me to verse 2. He says, attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they ate me. My heart is so pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Please underline that key word, overwhelmed. That is what the devil wants to do with every trouble he sends against us in life. He has designed each of the trouble that comes our way to overwhelm our souls. When something overwhelms us, that thing gains the upper hand over us and makes us to become subservient to the pressures that are coming against us on every side. That is the fact of life. The devil will bring trouble to everybody in this world. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about any one of us. He has no fear of God within himself. And he has no regard for any man. The devil is a wicked spirit. He will bring trouble to everybody. Even while Jesus was here on earth, the devil caused him all kinds of trouble. But you see, if we understand who we are and what to do when the troubles come, we will always have victory and put the devil to shame in every area of our lives. Say to your neighbor, you can put the devil to shame in every situation of life if you will cast the burden on Jesus. Amen. See, Jesus has already put the devil to shame for you. So when you take your burdens to him, he knows how to put the devil to shame in your life in that situation. You see. And so, in all the midst of the affliction and the sufferings that David was going through, look at what he said here, you know, that's what you and I would think when we are going through trouble. He said in verse 6, "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest." Now notice, he's thinking of getting rest by running away from the trouble. But how many of us know that by running from our troubles, we don't get rest? Because the trouble you run from will keep pursuing you the rest of your life. The only way to really overcome the trouble is to go to Jesus and let Jesus deal with it for you. Because if you try to run from one problem, that problem will become a problem to you the rest of your life, because it will keep pursuing you all over the place. You don't solve the problems of life by running from them. Bible says you have to be steadfast in the faith and resist the devil, not run from him. So when problems come your way, don't run from the problem. You get your shield of faith out and take the problem to Jesus in prayer and let Jesus rebuke the enemy for you, saying unto him, "Touch not my anointed, do my prophet no harm." So don't think with the carnal mind, because there David was thinking with his carnal mind, "Oh, if I had wings like a dove, you know, all this trouble are too many. I just can't stand them anymore. I need a break, you know. I need a break. I just need to run away from these things." But you can't run away from the devil, really. If you are running from him, he will keep pursuing you all over the place, because he has seen your weakness. And it will just pile on more pressures on your life. You have to stand your ground instead and say, "Devil, no, I know who I am. In the name of Jesus, I refuse to back down. I'm an overcomer. And by the help of Jesus Christ, I overcome you, devil, in this situation, because I know you are the one behind my troubles. Not God. You are the one behind my troubles." And so, instead of thinking of how to sort the problem out carnally, you have to look to Jesus. So David said, "Well, if I had wings like a dove, I would just fly away in order to have rest." Verse 7 says, "Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness." Selah. How many people know that when you go to the wilderness, you don't find rest? There will be other problems in the wilderness, you see. But you see how the carnal mind thinks. I'm trying to sort the problem out. But in an attempt to sort the problem out, I'm thinking along the lines of man, human mind, using my human mind that is already in a fallen state, because the devil already corrupted my mind in the Garden of Eden. So I cannot defeat him with this carnal mind. The devil that got Adam to sin in the garden took control of his mind. In order to defeat the devil, you have to employ the mind of Christ, not the mind of Adam. The natural mind cannot defeat the devil. It is only the spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, that can defeat the devil. You see? So he's wondering about what to do, how to sort the problem out carnally. But thank God, he corrected himself later, because he saw that all his thoughts and all his scheming trying to solve his problem never worked. And he just kept weeping and moaning and griping and doing all the things that you and I do most of the time when we are just trying to rely on ourselves in the midst of our afflictions. But eventually, he gathered himself together and remembered, "Well, I have to take this thing to God in prayer. I have to take this thing to God in prayer." Now look at verse 16. You see, thank God for psalms like this, because they teach us clearly how we are as humans and how we can handle things and mess them up if we are trying to do so carnally. But then if we then choose the way of the Spirit, how God can intervene and give us lasting victory in those circumstances. So as he tried to sort himself out carnally and failed, he tuned himself back to the right way, the way we should go as Christians, the way every one of us should go as believers in Christ. Look at verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God. And that's what you need to do. When trouble comes your way, don't try to find rest by your carnal means. Don't think of running away from the trouble, because you really can't have rest by running away from the trouble. The trouble will pursue you. The devil will come after you everywhere you run to. But when you stand your ground in faith and take the burden to God in prayer, then God will intervene and defeat the plans of the enemy in your life. That's the way to have victory and to have lasting solution to every problem of life. So he said, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. You see, my salvation comes from God, not from man. He will save me out of the trouble. He will save me out of my afflictions. And in verse 17, he helps us to understand how to be diligent. Say to your neighbor, you have to be diligent in seeking help from God. You see, God rewards those who diligently seek him, Bible says. Many of us, we have problem, but we are not really diligent in seeking God for help. And yet we want God to just wave his hand and drive away our problems. It doesn't work that way. God has principles by which he works. And he has clearly revealed those principles to us in the Holy Scriptures. And God never violates his word. If you want help from God, you have to be diligent in seeking after him, both in faith and in prayer. So in the word and in prayer, diligently day and night. You get the Bible out when you have trouble and search the scriptures. Find out what the word of God says about that particular trouble. For instance, maybe you are fearful. You just are living in fear of virtually everything. Fear of tomorrow. Oh, fear of what the enemy will do. Fear of this, fear of that. Well, what you need to do is sit down, get your Bible out, search the concordance in your Bible, and find out every word of God concerning fear, and begin to study those scriptures day and night, diligently, meditating in them and using them to pray and saying, God, you said you have not given me the spirit of fear, but that of love and of power and of a sound mind. Therefore, I refuse to fear, because fear is not my portion. You didn't give me fear. It's coming from the enemy. I refuse to allow the devil to rule over me. And in the name of Jesus, I thank you, mighty God, for giving me strength in my spirit to overcome the fear. And you begin to do that day and night. Day and night. Day and night diligently. Day and night diligently. Day and night diligently. Meditating in the word of God and in prayer. I tell you, when you do that, that fear will disappear. And it will be a thing of the past in your life. You will not know anything called fear anymore, because you have gained the victory by the power of God. That's the way it works. And so in verse 17, it said, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. In other words, I'm going to be diligent. I'm not going to be, you know, casual about this thing. I'm going to be devoted to God in prayer. In the daytime, in the nighttime, all day long, I'm going to be devoted to God. You see, that's the key. You stay your mind on God by meditating in the promises that address your need, and by committing the need to God in prayer based on those promises. God, you said you will do this for me. If I do this, so I believe you, Lord, and I thank you that you do as you have promised in Jesus' name. That's the way to do it. You have to diligently search the scriptures when you have troubles in your life. Those burdens, you have to take them to God in prayer on the basis of His promises, which you base your faith on, and then prayer accordingly in the name of Jesus. Now, please write this down. Give you some points to take home and meditate in, because we all have to learn to cast our burdens upon Jesus. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have burdens. None of us is exempt. We're going to have burdens in all areas of life. Many times, the kinds of burdens we have will be multiple. We are hard-pressed on every side, Bible says, you see. In fact, turn with me quickly to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, sometimes you wonder, but why am I going through all these problems? Too many problems. I have problem on the job. I have problem at home. I have problem in the family. I have problem in the community. Why me? Well, you have to understand that this is the fact of life. Particularly if you are a Christian, the devil is going to be against you extra hard, because he wants you to give up on God and turn away from him, just as he went into the garden to get man to disobey God and lose the garden. It's the same old serpent, not a new one. So he's going to put pressure on us, because what he's after is to turn us away from God and get us to just turn our backs on God and say, well, this following God business is too hard. You see? But God never told us it's going to be easy. Bible says narrow and hard is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. But you see, when you find that way, you understand how to live victoriously over the devil at all times. Nothing will trouble you. Nothing will bother you. When troubles come your way, you know what to do with them. So instead of being troubled, you roll the cares on the Lord. Jesus himself said we should not let our hearts be troubled in John chapter 14, verse 1. If we believe in God, we have to believe in Jesus Christ himself also. So no troubles, whatever the situation, we refuse to be troubled. Hallelujah. Now, let us read together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'll begin to read from verse 7 so we can get it in context. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. Please underline that in your Bible. We are troubled on every side. Every side means every side. You turn this way, trouble. Turn that way, trouble. So what am I going to do? Well, the solution is in the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who lives in you as earthen vessel. So we are in the flesh, but we do not war using fleshly weapons. Bible says we do not war after the flesh. Even though we are in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. They are mighty through God. So we exercise our power through God. The excellency of the power is not of us, but of God who lives in us by his Spirit. So when the troubles come against us on every side, Bible says we are not distressed. Why? Because of the power of God within us, giving us the victory over the enemy that is coming at us on every side. So we are not distressed. Say to your neighbor, no distress for you. No matter the troubles that come against you on every side. See, that should give us hope as Christians. Well, I'm troubled on every side, but I'm not distressed. Praise God, I have the victory over all the troubles. So what do I do then? I need to take them to Christ, that's all. As long as you rely on the power of God, you will always win. There is no defeat for a Christian that relies on the power of God. All right. Again, write this scripture down, which we all know. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. We all know it, so we don't need to turn there. Bible says we shouldn't worry about any situation, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we make our request known unto God, and then in exchange, it will give us his peace or his rest, if you like. There will always be an exchange when we come to God by faith and prayer. So please write this down. As long as we are in this world, we are going to have burdens assigned to us from time to time by our adversary, the devil. As long as we are in this world, we are going to have burdens or troubles, if you like, assigned to us from time to time by our adversary, the devil. In front of that, please write the scripture. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. See, the word burden, as we see it in scripture, particularly looking at it in Psalm 55, verse 22, where David declared it before Peter quoted from it, that word literally means trouble that is assigned to someone. It is an assignment that comes our way, or trouble that is apportioned to us. Now, who is apportioning this trouble to us? Who is measuring these troubles to us? Who is giving us these burdens to carry? Many of us get confused because of wrong doctrine. Many of us have allowed wrong teaching to get us to believe that it is God putting those things on us in order to teach us a lesson or to humble us. But Bible teaches us otherwise. Because the problems we have, they are from the adversary, not from God. God cannot be putting things on us and then taking them off again. I mean, it doesn't just make sense for me to say I want to clean my house, but first of all, I mess it up and then I start cleaning it. And then I mess it up and I start cleaning it. Well, why am I doing that? That's not a wise thing to do. There's no point God putting problem on you and then taking the problem away. A house divided against itself, Jesus said, cannot stand. God is not the one giving you the burdens. It is the devil. God is the one getting the burdens off of you. The devil is the one putting them on you. Because if you think it is God, then you are not going to be able to have faith in God as you should to get the help that is available for you in the time of trouble. So, please know that it is the adversary that is assigning the burdens to you, never God. So, under that point, just make a note and say, my burdens don't come from God. They come from the devil. And in front of that, please write the scripture, James chapter 1, verses 13 and 17. And you look those verses up on your own. Verse 13 tells us that let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, because God does not tempt any man with evil. So God never tempts us with any problem, any trouble. They are not from God. God is not a troublemaker. It is the devil. And verse 17 of that same James chapter 1 also helps us to understand that God only gives us good things. He doesn't give us bad things. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh from God the Father. So it doesn't tempt us with burdens. So when troubles come your way, don't even think twice about who is behind it. Don't say, well, this is God at work. No, it's not God at work. That's the devil at work. So you have to carry it to God for God to remove it from you. That's the way it works. But if you think it is God, then you are not going to do anything. You say, well, what can I do? It is God behind all these things. So say to your neighbor, God doesn't tempt anyone with evil. The devil is the one causing you trouble. Amen. Now, write this down also. The most important thing for us as Christians is what we do with our burdens, not the burdens themselves. You see, for unbelievers, everything is a problem to them because they don't have solution. They don't have God. They don't have Jesus in their lives to help them. So they are overwhelmed and they are confused in every problem of life. And they focus on the problem all day long because they don't have any way out of it. But for us as Christians, we don't focus on the burden. The burden is not even what is important. What is important is for us to do what we ought to do as God's own children. Because if we focus on the burden, we will fail to do what we ought to do. We are going to keep thinking about the trouble all day long, and it will succeed in overwhelming our souls instead of getting rest unto our souls. And that's why the Bible says we do not look while we are there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You see, we are not to focus on the trouble we see. Look at verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. So we don't look at the trouble. We don't look at the storm. Like Peter was looking at the storm and drowning, but when he was looking to Jesus, he was walking on the water and the storm couldn't stop him. You see, we don't look at the trouble. We don't focus on the burden. We don't sit down and think about the burden. No, 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 no. The burden is there. Praise the Lord. But our focus is on Jesus, who helps us to have rest unto our souls and take the burden off of us when we come to him in prayer. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, the devil is a strategist. Not only does he bring us trouble, he also tries to walk cunningly through the trouble he has brought us to get our attention away from Jesus and just focus on the trouble. Because he knows by focusing on the trouble, our focus is on the wrong thing. Bible says, looking unto Jesus. The devil says, well, take your eyes off of Jesus. Look at the storms. Look at all the problems you have. And the more you look at your problems, the more discouraged you are. But when you look to Jesus, you always find encouragement. Because you see Jesus glorified. You see Jesus victorious already over the devil and all his evil plans. Thank God for victory in the name of Jesus. So the problems and the burdens we have, they are not the important thing really. What is important is what we do when those burdens come. And then please write this down as we close. There are two basic choices that we often make when burdens come our way. One of them is wrong. One of them is right. And as we said, when we were looking at David's experience in Psalm 55, we saw it clearly. He was making one choice in the carnal mind, and then he switched off from the carnal mind and switched on to the spirit, and he began to pray. Now, the first choice, which comes to us by default, many of us just take that choice and then we are defeated, even though we are Christians, is to attempt to handle the trouble by carnal means. That's the first choice. That's the one that comes our way first. Well, something comes my way, the first thing I begin to do is use my mind. Oh, what should I do in this problem? What should I do? What should I do? Then I'm trying to figure out by my mind, okay, oh, who should I run to? Who can help me in this situation? Oh, who do I know? Oh, do I need to run to this person? Oh, do I need to run to that person? Oh, do I? And then at the end of the day, we get so worked up and we have headache trying to solve our problem. And then at the end of the day, we get discouraged. It's a wrong choice for us to make as Christians. We can't handle any problem of life. Say to your neighbor, you can't handle any problem of life on your own. And no man can handle it for you either. Only God can. Amen. So, the first choice, as I said, which we often make, is to attempt to handle those troubles by carnal means. And this only results in overwhelmed souls. So at the end of the day, our souls will be overwhelmed because we are trying to solve the problem carnally, and there is just no means in our carnal mind to defeat the devil. We are dealing with an invisible enemy called the devil. All we are seeing is the trouble, but there is a force behind it, which often we don't realize. We are just thinking about the problem. But who is behind the problem? It's not my next door neighbor. It's not flesh and blood. There is a spirit, wicked spirit, the devil, behind the trouble. It's not flesh and blood. And as long as we are focused on flesh and blood, we will get our souls worked up. Because it's still the design of the devil to get us to look away from him who is causing the trouble, so that we don't pay attention to where our help is coming from in Jesus Christ. We are looking to man. We are trying all that we know to do carnally. We are even trying to identify the human person behind our trouble so that we can go and fight them physically. Then we get things messed up. The battle is not in the flesh. It's in the spirit. And God fights for us. We hold our peace. We see his salvation. So when we try to handle the trouble by our carnal means, our souls will be overwhelmed and we will be defeated. In front of that, please write Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25, and Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. See, when our souls are overwhelmed, we just lose out. That's all. Turn with me quickly to Proverbs 12. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Proverbs 12:25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. You see that? Heaviness. In other words, when the burden of life, if we take them in to our hearts instead of giving them to Jesus, then we are going to be overwhelmed. We are going to be so much pressurized by the problem and the trouble that our souls are literally crushed. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to crush our souls, get us into that overwhelmed mode, get us into all kinds of mood that makes our souls to really be downcast. As the psalmist said in Psalm 42, why art thou downcast, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? He says the burden, because he's carrying the burden himself. And the burden is crushing his soul. But when he woke up from that, he realized, hey, I must look to God. He said, then he encouraged his soul. He said, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. See, that's the key. If you try to carry the burden yourself, your soul will be crushed. But when you take it to God, you'll find rest in Christ Jesus. See, that's the key. So don't try to handle it on your own. Finally, number two, this is the right choice we must make. The second choice is to cast those troubles or burdens, all of them, upon Jesus. Don't try to choose and say, let me give this to Jesus, and then this one I think I can handle on my own. No, you can't handle any of them. Just give everything to Jesus by faith and prayer. Say to your neighbor, by faith and prayer. And in front of that, Psalm 55 verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. And this will always guarantee victory to you. In front of that last statement, in other words, when we cast our burdens and roll them or give them to Jesus in faith and prayer, we will always have victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 57. Bible says right there, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So in summary, therefore, how do we cast the burdens on Jesus? Number one, release your faith in Jesus based on the promises in the Holy Scriptures that apply to your need. And then you just simply talk to Jesus on the basis of the word, because he's the word of God. Say, well, Jesus, I'm looking to you. You are the author and finisher of my faith. I'm looking to you for the faith to overcome this situation. Because he said, the victory that overcomes the world is faith. And thank you for giving me the faith that I need. I will not allow my heart to be troubled. Again, you just take the word of Jesus and begin to use that to commune with him. And once you do that, he will do the rest. Our faith is in Jesus based on the promises that are in the word, because it's the word of God. And then secondly, you simply pray. You commit the same burden to Jesus in prayer based on those scriptures or promises that he has given you in his word. You come to him with the labor and the heavy load, as Bible says in Matthew 11:28, and say, Jesus, he said, I should come when I'm going through affliction, and I've come to you, and I thank you that you give me rest. Thank you for removing the burden from me. Thank you for giving me victory, which you have already given me on the cross, and now I receive it by faith in Jesus' name. Now turn with me as we pray to Hebrews chapter 4. It's all about taking it to Jesus in faith and prayer. Doesn't matter what the burden may be. We don't focus on the magnitude of the problem. We focus on the bigness of Jesus. Jesus is bigger than your troubles and my troubles. And he knows what to do with what no man knows what to do. He's the all-knowing one. If you keep running to man, you'll be discouraged and disappointed. Because the man you are running to also has problems, you see. If the man was an expert, he himself wouldn't have any problems. Why don't you take your problems to Jesus? Let us be wise in these last days. We need Jesus. He's our all in all. Hebrews chapter 4, let us read together this very popular verses from verse 14 to 16. Let's go. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Notice what Bible says. Jesus has already been tempted at all points like as we are. So no matter what you are going through right now, Jesus has gone through it already. That's what Bible is saying. So he's the expert. He knows what to do because he has gone through it. He has overcome those things already for you. So he knows how to help you overcome them too. It's as simple as that. But no man has been through those things without being overcome, you see. Only Jesus. He never failed. He never sinned. He passed all the tests. And he knows how to make you pass them too. So right where you are seated, I want you to take your problems to him in prayer. Someone says, but I can't see Jesus. You don't need to see him. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. You just need to believe according to the word of God. That if I call on the name of Jesus, he will help me. If I ask Jesus to take care of the trouble for me, he will do so because he already loved me and gave himself for me. And he has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. He's my ever-present help in trouble. If I call on his name, Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Burdens bow to the authority of the name of Jesus. Afflictions bow to the authority of the name of Jesus. Every problem of life bow to the authority of the name of Jesus. But you see, you have to go to him in prayer. Like the hymn writer says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. Let's just take everything to him in prayer. You see? Just take it to him in prayer. Say, Jesus, Jesus, my Savior, I bring my troubles to you. You said I should bring them to you. Instead of me carrying them myself, I should bring them so I can have rest unto my soul. So I give you all my troubles. The trouble I have at work, the trouble I have at home, the trouble I have in the family, the trouble I have amongst friends, the trouble I have on every side that I'm troubled. Jesus, I call on your name. I look to you as the author and finisher of my faith. I look to you as my Savior and my Redeemer. And I thank you for giving me the victory in the name of Jesus. And then when you have done that, you begin to thank him. Someone says, but that's too easy. Well, that's the way of rest. When we walk by faith, we cease from our own effort, Bible says. Because we enter into the finished work of Jesus. You just need to do that day and night. Just thank him. Praise him and say, Lord, I thank you. I give you those troubles. I cast them on you. I roll them away from me unto you, Jesus. I'm not going to sit down and think all day long about that problem I have at work. I'm not going to sit down and think all day long about that problem I have on my job. No, 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 no. Jesus, you are in control. I release it into your hands. You take care of it for me in Jesus' name. And you do that in the morning. You do that in the afternoon, like David said. Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and you hear my voice. You just do it, and you keep doing that. It doesn't mean just do it 3 times. You may, even during the day, you may do it 100 times. Every time it comes to you, just say, Lord Jesus, I'm not going to think about the trouble. I already give it to you, and I thank you that you are in control in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe 1 hour later, it comes to your mind again. Immediately, you roll it back on Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I already gave it to you in prayer. And I'm thanking you that you are in control in Jesus' name. Because the devil will try to get your mind off of Jesus. Every time the thing comes to your mind, you take it captive immediately. That's what it means to cast the burden on Jesus. Every time the devil tries to get your mind to focus on the trouble, you take the thought captive to the obedience of Christ and say, no, it is not my battle. The battle is the Lord's. Jesus, I thank you. I already gave it to you in faith. I come to the throne of grace and I've rolled the cares on you. And I thank you that I have rest unto my soul. And then you praise him and thank him. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. So go ahead and thank him. And thank him. Thank him that he takes care of your problems, all your burdens, and gives you rest. In Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word that we have shared in simplicity this morning. And we thank you that you've heard the cries of our hearts, every one of us, bringing our burdens to you in obedience to your instruction, unrolling our cares on you. Thank you that you care for us. You promise that you will never permit the righteous to be moved or shaken by any trouble of life. And so as we give our burdens to you in prayer, we thank you for victory for every one of us and testimonies to the praise and glory of your name. For the battle is yours. You always fight for us. We hold our peace and we see your salvation. Thank you for giving victory and rest unto every one of us in this church and all our fellow brethren in the body of Christ. Help us daily to play our own part, to walk by faith, trusting in you and obeying your word, and simply knowing that faithful are you who has promised, and you always do what you have promised if we believe you. We give you all the glory, Lord. Thank you for rest unto our souls in this church. From the oldest among us to the youngest, rest in all circumstances and adversities of life. Every trouble we've had on every side, we give you praise, Jesus, that you take care of every one of them and you give rest to us all. We bless your name now and always. In Jesus' name, amen.